You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. It's the perfect time of year to stay in and watch a scary movie. And the weather's chilly, and of course, Halloween is right around the corner.
But what scary movie should you watch? Lucky for you, we're talking to an expert on horror movies now.
And we want to know, in the meantime, what is your favorite scary movie? What horror movie would you recommend to scare the daylights out of someone? And do you have a favorite cheeseball horror movie? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. We'll start taking calls right away, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Mike Mayo joins us now. He's author of The Horror Show Guide, the ultimate fright fest of movies. He's a film critic who's contributed to The Washington Post and The Roanoke Times. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, think back. What is your first horror movie memory, and how did it affect you?
Oh, gosh. The very first one that I saw was a time that my parents let me stay up and watch a late show. And it was the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Mm. And that movie scared me. And it's just a terrific movie still. And I think all of the remakes that they've done of it don't even come close to it, because that, to me, is just one of those near-perfect movies. It's really short, tells us really good story, limited special effects, great characters, one of the best.
I'm kind of laughing ruefully along with you, Mike, because my mom made a bad parenting call and took me to see that when I was, you know, maybe like 11 or 12, and it still has scarred me to this day.
Yep,
we had to leave in ignominy. So, yeah, that's one that sticks with you. I mean, since you were so scared, that was your first one. What made you a horror fan? What do you like about them?
Well, I just like the horror films kind of, you know, tickle that old reptile part of the brain, you know, fight or flight, in a way that other movies don't. And I think for a lot of kids, they are sort of an introduction into the world of adult movies. Clearly, Invasion of the Body Snatchers was not meant for young audiences, but I could see it, understand it. The idea of adults kind of going crazy and turning weird, I understood that immediately. And so I think that's it. That's what gets a lot of kids into it. And once you see the right movies at the right time, you're hooked for life.
For your book, you've got a pretty broad definition of horror. You include things like Alien, which some people might just call science fiction, Contagion, which is a disease thriller.
Yep.
Why did you broaden the definition past what we might think of as like a supernatural or serial killer horror?
It is so hard to make really strong, bright definitions between, like you say, horror and crime and I guess all supernatural is pretty much horror. But I just decided any movie that sets out to scare you is a horror movie. And if it scares you really well, then it's a really good horror movie. And Alien is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Yes, technically it's science fiction, but that's got some of the scariest stuff I've ever seen on a movie screen.
Yeah, agreed. Well, let's go to our first caller. We've got Max on the line from Oshkosh. Hi, Max.
Well, hi. Happy Thursday, everybody.
You too.
Hey, I don't know if this fits exactly into the horror genre, but one of the scariest movies I ever saw, and I continue to watch it to this day, is Jaws. It was amazing to me because you didn't see the shark until about halfway through the movie. I mean, it was all suspense. It was crazy. And
yeah,
it was just it was terrifying when I was a kid, and I lost a lot of sleep over it. I'm still going back to it.
Yep, I hear you there,
I
Max. I
was going to the bathtub when I was a kid.
Yeah, what about Jaws, Mike?
I agree completely. And again, like we were saying, you know, it's hard to tell exactly where the lines are there, but look at Steven Spielberg. He has been making horror movies all through his career. One of his first big hits was a movie that he made for television called Duel, with Dennis Weaver, about a guy who gets involved with a crazed truck driver. And then we had Jaws, of course, and I think Jurassic Park is another excellent horror movie.
Well,
he goes for the big monsters, and he does them very well.
So you consider Jurassic Park a horror movie, too. That's one of those on-the-line ones, but I guess you're right. It is scary.
Yeah, and any movie with giant dinosaurs in it is kind of a horror movie.
Well, Max brought up a good point about Jaws, about not seeing the shark through so much of the movie, and the scary part is what you don't see. And I think of some of the better episodes in the Nightmare on Elm Street series, where it's the lurking shadow, not, you know, Freddy Krueger full on, you know, seeing his face, you know, right in front of you.
Right, and we've, I think, very much, well, not all horror filmmakers these days have lost that, but a lot of them have. We have gotten so much into special effects since now anything can be shown. You know, the reason Steven Spielberg didn't show the shark was because he couldn't get it to work right. and so they had to kind of shoot around it. And they realized wisely that once they had established how scary the shark was, all you really had to do was show the water. And we knew that the shark could be anywhere underneath there. And so that's part of it. And another thing that we particularly talking about Jaws, we should mention, is how important that music is. Mm. It's, you know, kind of immediately recognizable as soon as you hear it, just like the Halloween music that you played coming in. As soon as you hear that, bam, you, the viewer, are right into that movie and you're scared.
I think Jaws is from the 70s, and there are a bunch of others that come from that same era, like Carrie and The Shining and Amityville Horror. Was that kind of a golden age for horror movies?
In some ways it was, because that was right after the MPAA had changed their rating system so that the filmmakers could actually show more violence and things on screen than they'd been able to before. And we had a lot of independent people working and novels like Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist were very popular. And, of course, you know, they made big-budget adaptations from those at the same time that the independent guys like George Romero were making Night of the Living Dead. And so I think that's when, in a way, the horror movie did come of age then and really became accepted by mainstream Hollywood in a way that it had not been before.
Let's give a listen to one of the classics. This is The Shining. Our producer Amanda Magnus loves this movie and tries to get us to play clips from it for any excuse she can find. So let's give a listen.
Wendy.
Sally!
Darling, light of my life. I'm not going to hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
So The Shining definitely stands out, not just for Amanda, but for a lot of people as a classic horror movie. Does it hold a special place for you, Mike?
I like that movie, but I don't love it. Like so much of Stanley Kubrick's films, I find them easier to admire than to really get involved in. And I have sort of the same objection to that Stephen King always has, that the Jack Nicholson character is kind of crazy from the beginning. He doesn't really go crazy the way he does in the novel. I also recommend the remake that Stephen King wrote was done for cable television back in the 90s, I think. And that's a very nice adaptation. Doesn't have the really slick production values that the Kubrick film does, but it's a really good version of that story.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. We've got Sean with us in Wausau. Sean, hi.
Hello.
What's your movie?
The movie that still scares me, I just watched it the other day. I saw it for the first time when I was a teenager. It was Angel Heart. Mickey Rourke, Lisa Bonet, Robert De Niro. Terrifying movie. It wasn't really a slasher-type horror, but it was more psychological-type horror. Guy is a crooner. Sells his soul to the devil, goes to World War II, has a traumatic injury, comes back, doesn't remember who he was or that he sold his soul to the devil.
Whoop.
Devil finds him and hires him as a private investigator. And the movie is him slowly unraveling the truth of who he is.
Well, spoiler alert, but how old were you when you saw that?
I was probably 13, 14.
Okay, that's pretty...
literally the scariest thing I'd ever seen up to that point.
Yeah, it's a little gruesome and a little sexual, too. It's not one I'm going to pull out for kids too early on.
No, that is, again, but again, talking about the, you know, is that, it is definitely supernatural. We've got the devil as a character in it, and I think as soon as you've got the devil, you know, in the credit list, then you've got a horror movie.
And you can join in and share your favorite horror movie. Maybe it's a cheeseball one. Maybe it's one that shaped your entire life. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. What do you turn to when you really want to be scared? You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Now, something that's happened not that recently, but I guess in the more recent history of horror movies is sort of mashing them up with comedy. And one that really does that well is Shaun of the Dead. What do you think about that one, Mike?
I really like that movie. It was one of the first ones to really start playing with the idea of, you know, that we're all sort of zombies, as it were. And those guys just did such a terrific job with that. They obviously love American movies, and they just did a terrific. They made it. It's kind of a comedy, a parody of zombie movies, but it's also a really good zombie movie at the same time. And I share their quirky sense of humor. So I think that is really one of the finest comedies of recent years. And I also like all the other work that they've done.
Let's give a listen. This, I believe, they're trying to pretend to be zombies. There's a little acting lesson to look like zombies.
Take another look at the way he moves. Remember, darling, almost like sleepwalking. Look at the face. It's vacant with a hint of sadness. Like a drunk who's lost a bet. Okay, let's try, shall we? Liz. Nice. Good vocal work. Okay. Barbara, that's excellent.
Sorry, dear, I was miles away.
A clip from Shaun of the Dead. We're talking horror movies with Mike Mayo, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What's your favorite?
Well, you're listening to Central Time right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk to Mike Mayo, and we're going to get some of your takes in a little bit. Keep listening. Talking horror movies right now with Mike Mayo. He's the author of The Horror Show Guide, the ultimate fright fest of movies, and he's also a film critic who's contributed to The Washington Post and The Roanoke Times.
And we want to know, what's your favorite horror movie? Head over to the Central Time Facebook page. That's Central Time on WPR. Let us know the one that scared you the most.
And we'll go to calls now. We've got Tom on the line from Lansing. Hi, Tom.
Hi. It's not special effects or supernatural or anything, but the most I've ever been startled in the movie theater was in Wait Until Dark.
The guy you think
is gone jumps on her. And that's still, actually, I still look around corners a little bit on that. It still attacks me to this day, and that was like 45 years ago.
Wow.
But it's one of those incidents where the whole thing builds up, you think he's gone, and whoa. And it really, I think, everybody in the theater, the whole bit. So I think that was a classic moment in film.
I have a story about that one. In high school band camp, they showed us that movie. And at the moment you're talking about, you had 90-plus teenagers screaming in the middle of the woods in this, in the lodge. I'm sure people heard us from miles around when Alan Arkin jumped out there. Mike, how about you?
My memory is much the same. I remember seeing that movie in a theater in Chapel Hill. I took a date, and I think I still have 4 marks on my wrist where her fingernails.
Yep, these scars stay with us sometimes, don't they? All right, thanks a lot, Tom, for that call. And we go to Carol in La Crosse. Hey, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
Prince of Darkness.
I feel like I've seen that. I don't remember it that well. Briefly, what was the deal with that one?
Yeah, the Catholic Church has kept this secret for centuries that the devil was on Earth at one time, and now he's coming back.
That's John Carpenter, I think, Mike Mayo, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, it is. It's a John Carpenter movie. It's not one of his best known, but I really like that movie, too, just because it tells a more complicated story than he normally does. And I haven't seen it in a long time. That's one I should take another look at, because I remember really getting into it and involved with it. There's all kinds of stuff that takes place down in a cellar, as I remember. Really one to take a look at. And that's what's so cool about talking to fans like this. You remember movies like that. Somebody brings up something that you haven't seen in a long time, and then you can go back, and I hope we're all keeping our lists here, and take another look at it.
All right, well, let's give a listen to one of Veronica's favorites. This is the one you picked, I think, for our list, The Blair Witch Project.
And this is where we've ended up. And it's all because of me that we're here now. Hungry and cold and hunted.
That was a fun one. It set it up as though it were real, and there was an amazing, they kind of invented viral marketing for that movie. Mike, is that one of your favorites?
I can't say it's one of my favorites. It's one, again, that I have to admire simply because of the brilliance of the marketing campaign. I remember they had so many people thinking that, this was not a horror movie. This was a documentary. It really was literally found footage. And they kind of invented that whole school of horror. they did one sequel to it that didn't really do too well, but then other people have picked it up with things like this Paranormal Activity series that Paramount has out that really does exactly the same thing. And the key to all these movies is they have really unknown cast, so they don't have to pay a lot for that. And then they're done in kind of deliberately crude style without sophisticated lighting or anything like that. So they are incredibly inexpensive for the studios to make. And if they get one that's a hit, like Paranormal Activity, it is just pure profits once people start buying tickets and DVDs.
What I like about that one is that it's for somebody like me. It's for wimps who really can't take like the super gory, super bloody things. There's still suspense and it's still scary, but it's kind of a little softer for people who just need to soft pedal that kind of thing. Do you have any recommendations for other wimps like me?
Oh, gosh, for other wimps like you. Now, that's... Yes, an older movie, and particularly appropriate since we're talking about Halloween, the adaptation of Ray Bradbury's Something Wicked This Way Comes. Again, one of my all-time favorite movies. It does have some scary stuff in it, but not a lot, as I recall. It's mostly done through the characters that you get to know. A just extremely well-made movie, well-crafted all the way through. Gosh, that goes back to the 70s, too, I guess, or 80s. But I highly recommend that movie.
Excellent. We'll check that one out. And let's go back to the phones now, see what else people have on their minds. Greg in Madison is next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I really personally do not like scary movies, but I remember when I was 17, I worked in a movie theater, and we had the movie Carrie there for probably 4 months.
Mm.
And at the end of the movie, at the very last scene, all the ushers would walk down to the front of the theater and look up the crowd and watch the entire audience jump.
That's awesome. So your entertainment was the audience who was completely freaked out. Yeah, Carrie, that was a big deal back, you know, in the day, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, and I remember what he said about, you know, watching the audience. Stephen King tells a really good story about, you know, he was not really involved very much with the making of that movie and didn't see it till he went out to an early screening in New York with a big crowd. And he said when that big last scare came out, and we won't give it away because there are probably still some people out there who haven't seen it, and the whole audience jumped and screamed, he said, I knew right then, this is a hit.
And they're remaking Carrie, aren't they? What do you think about that?
With Chloe Moretz and, Julianne Moore. I suppose it's hard to argue with remaking horror movies because, again, it's pretty much a sure bet for the Hollywood studios. They've got a built-in audience. They don't require really huge budgets. And I really do think that younger kids, you say, discovered Carrie on DVD or on VHS, really want to see it again, want to see their version of it. And that's why these have been so incredibly popular. When we were putting together the Horror Show Guide, we realized we had to change the way the book was arranged because there were so many remakes and sequels in there that it was just wrong to talk about them individually. You had to get them all together to make any sense of what they were.
I want to get a little more zombie talk in here, and let's give a quick listen to a clip from The Night of the Living Dead, a zombie classic.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're acting like a child.
Look, they're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
So an older zombie movie, and zombies are really big these days. They never go out of style, do they?
Yeah, and that was really the first zombie movie. And in fact, the word zombie is never used in that movie. They refer to them as ghouls at one time. But George Romero was just trying to make a movie as cheaply as he could, you know, using his friends and the best kind of actors and extras they could get there in Pennsylvania. And they made the discovery that, you know, all you really need is people, you know, kind of to look like shambling corpses, and you've got something that scares viewers. And from that movie, all the rest of them came up into this year's World War Z, which I think of as kind of the Gone with the Wind of zombies.
Do Do you like zombies as sort of the cultural horror movie zeitgeisty thing right now, or do you prefer some of the other bad guys like vampires?
I'm kind of done with zombies. I think I got done with zombies a few years ago with that terrific comedy Zombieland with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I like that.
It's a great movie. Another terrific one for people to see if they have happened to miss that one. Has a great cameo performance at the end that we won't give away. But and now we're seeing, look, one of the most popular shows on television is The Walking Dead. So the characters aren't going away, and they're going to keep doing new things with them as long as the audience is out there. Even if I'm not part of that audience, I have to admit that, you know, this is really kind of the horror character right now that seems to be the most popular.
Go back to the phones. We've got Deborah with us in Milwaukee. Deborah, hi. You're on the air.
You know, it's really interesting that I'm listening to all of this and laughing. It seems so funny, but I cannot watch scary movies. And the very first scary movie I saw, I was about 12 years old. It was called The Green Slime. And the same principle as the Sigourney Weaver movie, where you kill the monster and it multiplies.
Ah, yeah.
And then another one was, I don't know if it was a movie, but I was home. I was in junior high, I think, and I was home on a Saturday night alone. I was watching it, and it was on at midnight. And it was Dr. Tears House of Horror.
Yes. Oh, I love that movie. That's Mike. Either of those, Green Slime or Dr. Tears House of Horrors.
No, I think we decided that Green Slime was more science fiction than horror, so it didn't get in there. But I, too, am a fan of Dr. Terror's House of Horrors. That's one of the great, I believe that's one of the anthology ones that they did back in the 60s. And those were really a lot of fun.
Well, for people who want to just sort of start with the elementals of horror movies, give us one or two recommendations for this Halloween.
Oh wow. Well, okay, I already mentioned Something Wicked This Way Comes. That's a really good one. And if you're looking for something for kids, and this is maybe not exactly true horror, but I think of it as horror, Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
The Tim Burton movie with Michael Keaton, that's just a lot of fun. And then you can show it on a double feature with Edward Scissorhands.
Mike, thanks. We're out of time, but thanks so much for joining us again. A lot of fun, as always.
Glad to do it.
That was Mike Mayo, author of The Horror Show Guide, The Ultimate Fright Fest of Movies.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.